As you probably noticed by all of the furniture, some extra ecclesiastical furniture up front here this morning. We have a special service where we are celebrating baptisms, professions of faith, and also welcoming some children to the table with us this morning. So this is a very special service, and because we're here, I'm in the middle of a baptistry and the table. I think it's appropriate that we spend some time reflecting on the significance of these things. And so I'm not going to actually preach a standalone sermon in the middle of the service this morning. So it'll be a little bit different, but I'm gonna offer a message or a couple of brief messages around the waters of baptism and at the table. And so we're looking this morning at these two things that we call sacraments. That's one of the words that we use for the baptism and the Lord's Supper, these sacraments of the faith. And to start out, it's really helpful to think about what sacraments are, what they mean, what they convey. And I think a good way to think about them is to think about love. Hopefully, whether it's from your parents or from your spouse, you hear words that tell you something like this, that say, I love you. You know, I love you so much. Hopefully you hear those words. But along with those words, we could ask the question, how is that love then, more than words, how is it tangibly communicated to us? And we probably answer that question by saying, well, I think I can see my mom's love for me with a smile on her face. My dad's kiss goodnight, you know, a warm embrace that communicates that sense of love. We speak a lot about God's love for us. How do we know that God loves us? Well, we know because of Jesus, because of God's love for us in Christ Jesus, and we know that that's communicated to us through God's Spirit. God's Spirit works in our hearts, communicates that love, and also through His Word, of course, that love is communicated to us. But that love is also communicated to us through these things, these tangible means that we call sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And it's really important to understand this and to keep this in mind, that these things communicate that to our senses, and that it's communicated to us. That's really important to keep in mind. These sacraments, they're not about us. We're not at the center of them. They're about God, His action, what He's done, and that gets communicated to us very, very tangible as bread, as tangible as wine or juice, as tangible as water. It gets communicated to us. It's God's action in the center, and we remember that we can't, for example, we can't baptize ourselves into our own names. Baptism is done to us. We're contingent beings, and therefore we don't generate energy on our own, and so therefore we need to take in food in order to get energy and be sustained, have our life sustained in the same way the Lord's Supper. We're something we receive. It's communicated to us in that way. We're passive in that sense, and this is really important to keep in mind. God's love and grace is communicated to us in this way. So we're going to do a little bit of reflection on the significance of baptism. And we celebrate baptism as a Christian community, first of all, because Jesus commanded it. Because he said in Matthew 28, after his resurrection, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We start with Jesus' words of institution. And baptism communicate some very important things to us, and I want to point out three main things that baptism communicates. First of all, baptism communicates that we are united with Jesus and united to His death and resurrection. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes about in Romans chapter 6, where Paul writes this. He says to the church there, he says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." And in those words, we hear a couple of things. We hear both a challenge and also a great assurance in this understanding of our union with Christ that's communicated in baptism. We're challenged to live a new life that is a new life given to us in Jesus. And then consequently, and to take off from another passage of Scripture in the letter to the Colossian church, to put off an old life, to die away to sin, and then to rise into this newness of life that is ours in Christ Jesus, again, communicated in baptism. But we're also assured that our life is joined, you know, it's not our own, it's joined to Jesus' eternal life, his resurrection life. And that should give us an incredible amount of assurance that just as we have been baptized, but our baptism says, remember who you are. You belong to Jesus. Sometimes, actually, the church traditionally, during funerals, has often brought water when the casket is lowered down in the grave. And traditionally, the church has even put water on that casket to remember Romans chapter 6. You know, since we have been buried with him in baptism, we will be raised with him into newness of life and resurrection life. The union with Christ, our union, is communicated in baptism. Secondly, the water of baptism communicates that our sins have been washed away by Jesus' sacrificial blood. I am, maybe like you, I'm one of those people that I hate to have my hands dirty, sticky, you know, goopy, anything like that. I just hate that. I hate it when my hands are, you know, I feel like I'm going to run them through my hair or touch something and get something really nasty and goopy. And I'm often working on my house, and I've often done plumbing projects where you have to shut off the water. And plumbing projects are often very goopy and nasty, and I'll be working on some plumbing. And inevitably, I'll go to wash my hands. I'll put soap on my hands and then go to scrub them up. And I'll go and I'll turn on the faucet, but there'll be no water there. And you've come to realize pretty quickly, if you've ever been in a situation like that, that water is really essential to cleaning, you know, your hands. It's an essential element. Water communicates the essential element of Jesus' cleansing. When we think about this spiritually, maybe like me in my plumbing project, we might think, let him finish a second there, that's my son. We might imagine that we could cleanse ourselves some way, maybe like, you know, pour on soap in some way, shape, or form and get clean. But the truth is that we can't clean ourselves. We can't wash ourselves up. As hard as we might try, we need the essential element. We need the blood of Christ. We need his righteousness. We need that. We need that applied to us in order to be clean, in order for our sins to be cleansed. The waters of baptism communicates this. And we hear this language in the letter to Titus. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." The waters of baptism communicate Jesus' cleansing power. And John Calvin, the reformer, he really beautifully described this in one of the things that he wrote. He said this. He said, "We must realize that at whatever time we are baptized, we are once for all washed and purged for our whole life. Therefore, as often as we fall away, we ought to recall the memory of our baptism and fortify our minds with it, that we may be always sure and confident of the forgiveness of sins. For though baptism administered only once seems to have passed, it was still not destroyed by subsequent sins. And then he goes on to say, for Christ's purity has been offered in it. His purity ever flourishes. It is defiled by no spots, but buries and cleanses away all our defilements. Calvin points us to Jesus and his purity and reminds us that baptism directs us to Jesus in that way. And then third, baptism communicates to us that we're joined to God's people. There's a union with the people of God. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul links baptism to the covenantal sign of circumcision. And this is a sign that the Israelites, the people of God, that they received, and it separated them from the rest of the nations. It marked them as a distinct people. And Paul writes there in Colossians chapter 2, Paul says to the church, now in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So in baptism, we're reminded, if we've been baptized, that we are set apart as a distinct people. We've been set apart as this worldwide, you know, multi-nation baptized people joined to Jesus Christ who share in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as Ephesians tells us. It links us, baptism links us visibly with the church, with the Christian community. And when it comes to the sacraments in general and the mystery of then how Christ communicates himself, how these things work out, I think, again, quoting John Calvin, he had some really wise things to say about the how of this, and this is what he said. He said, now, if anyone should ask me how this takes place, I should not be ashamed to confess that it is a secret too lofty for either the mind to comprehend or my words to declare. I'd rather experience the sacraments than understand them. And that's what we're going to do today, actually. We're going to experience. Some of us are going to go under the waters, of course, but we're going to experience these sacraments together as we reflect on our own baptism, or even our confronted with the claims of baptism and then with the Lord's Supper together.